Voters in Washington state could institute a first-of-its-kind fee on carbon emissions tomorrow. Ballot Initiative 1631 would charge oil companies and other large emitters for each ton of carbon they emit. There is strong support for the initiative in the more urban, liberal parts of the state, but elsewhere you'll find a lot of opposition. Ashley Ahern reports.
Dave Kreveling had his chainsaw out on the bed of his pickup truck and was filling it with oil when I pulled up. His family has raised cows in this small valley on the eastern side of the Cascade Mountains since just after the Civil War.
Nobody makes any money running cows. It's just a way of life, and that's always the way it's been.
Profit margins are small, and the price of beef has gone down in recent years, Kreveling says. So while his family may be land rich, he says everyone in the business is cash poor, and that's where the climate change ballot initiative gets him. It'll put a price of $15 on each ton of carbon emitted, a move that many economists say will encourage carbon reductions. However, fossil fuel companies are free to pass that cost on to customers, who can expect to pay 14 cents more per gallon at the gas pump and see their heating costs go up. And here, winters are colder, and people tend to drive more. Kreveling believes it'll put more rural people out of business. The big corporations won't feel that pain.
They don't ever hold the big people accountable. They got enough money that they just go ahead and they get out of it, or they go someplace else.
The new initiative would bring in $2.3 billion over the first 5 years, and a board of political appointees would decide how to spend the money. Some of it would fund renewable energy projects and improve air and water quality. Some would go to help low-income communities. But those decisions will be made in the state capital, far from the sparsely populated agricultural side of the state. Kent Lopez is the executive director of the Washington Rural Electric Cooperatives Association. I spoke with him via Skype.
This is a very poorly written piece of legislation.
Lopez's organization represents rural power and heating providers that serve roughly 75% of the state by landmass, but only 6% of the population. He says his members are skeptical that a politically appointed board is going to send any of the revenue from the carbon fee back to rural communities.
If you have things like the cost of natural gas or the cost of gasoline, you know, all of a sudden increasing significantly, that's where an electric co-op really starts getting concerned, because it's going to impact the communities that the electric co-ops serve.
It's not perfect. It's a first step, really.
Jasmine Minbashian is the executive director of the Methow Valley Citizens Council, a community nonprofit in rural eastern Washington that supports the carbon fee. She says the effects of climate change here are obvious.
We have experienced extreme and severe wildfire seasons last 4 out of 5 summers, and it has put all of us on notice.
This initiative is the first of its kind nationally because of the revenue it will generate, and that funding source is appealing to Minbashian. She'd like to see the money used to improve forest health and reduce wildfire risk here. But there are loopholes. Some of the largest emitters in the state will be exempt from the carbon fee. It won't apply to aviation and maritime fuels, or to fuel and electricity used to make glass, steel, pulp, paper, aluminum, or chemicals. Millions of barrels of oil are transported via train through Washington state to its coastal refineries each year. Those would also be exempt from the fee. As it stands, it's a fee that half of Washington voters support, according to a recent poll. And it's become one of the most expensive ballot initiative fights in Washington state history. For NPR News, I'm Ashley Ahern in Carlton, Washington.